Would you pray with me? O God, most high, most glorious, we look to you this morning and we know that you are near us because we are in Christ. It is by the goodness of Jesus, by his blood shed for us, that we who were once far away are brought near to you. And in your presence, we find that the thought of your infinitude is our peace. We can rest in you and in your presence declare, may it be, come what may, that we rest all our days in the goodness of Jesus. Your power knows no bounds, your goodness no end. You bring us out of confusion. The Lord God omnipotent reigns. Father God, we confess that we have sinned against you. We have walked in the desires of our own hearts, turning our faces from you and pursuing lesser glory, worshiping the creature rather than you, the creator. We have sinned against each other, using our mouths to harm rather than to heal, turning from the need of our brother to protect our own comfort and safety. Forgive us, Father, and in your abundant mercy, restore us fully into fellowship with you and with your people. We thank you for Christ, by whose death and resurrection we are cleansed of sin and brought into your family. Father, we pray for the members of our church family who are in the midst of career changes or searching for jobs. We pray that you would give them a strong sense of your nearness in their turmoil and give them the grace to walk forward as they search for new work. We pray that you would grant it to them quickly, but in your perfect time. Father, we pray for the members of our church family who are serving you both locally and globally. We pray that as they labor in the work which you have sent them to do, that they would be strengthened daily by your presence and your power. We pray that you would bring them to our minds often, that we might hold them in our hearts and offer them to you. We pray that they would feel the love and support that you have for them through us. Father, we lift up those affected by the Maui wildfires. We pray for the families of the victims, as well as those who are now left without homes. We pray for the firefighters as they fight to control fires, even as their own homes burn to the ground. We pray for your providence and nearness. We pray for rain, metaphorical and actual rain, to fall on Maui. And finally, Father, we pray that you would soften our hearts as we seek you in your word. Illuminate it and transform us. Grant us ears to hear and hearts that are open. We pray that you would speak, that you would speak, not I, and that Christ would be glorified. So reveal Christ in this psalm, and would our hearts bear the fruit of worship at that revelation. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Our scripture reading today comes from Psalm 46. And please, so if you have your Bibles, could you please turn there to Psalm 46 and follow along. And please remain standing for the reading of God's word. Psalm 46, to the choir master of the sons of Korah, according to Alamoth, a song. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice. The earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. the God of Jacob is our fortress. This is the reading of God's word. You may be seated. So I'd like to welcome you all to the English congregation of Rutgers Community Christian Church this morning. My name is Jonathan Lowe, but many of you know me as John. I'm one of the new intern ministers here at RCCC. And usually I am there leading worship, but today I am three steps to the right and much more formally dressed, so not much has changed. But I'm very happy to be here with all of you as we gather around God's word together. And so let's look together now at Psalm 46, a psalm in times of crisis. It was the Tuesday morning of the second week of the CYCU short-term mission. The two teams, American and Taiwanese, gathered in the chapel as we always did at 8 a.m. This gathering, though, early in the morning, was one that we looked forward to each day. The weather was hot, humid, the sun was relentless. So when we entered the air-conditioned chapel each morning, it was a welcome shelter from the heat of day. This morning, however, was quiet. Two of the American team members had tested positive for COVID, and close to half of the Taiwanese team was absent due to illness, either COVID or otherwise. And as we took stock of the situation, the doubt and anxiety was palpable in the room. Each one of us had questions in our minds. We had spent most of the last 10 days in the unmasked presence of our teammates who were now sick. Was it only a matter of time before we tested positive? And if we did, what would become of the camp? What would happen to all of the hard work that we and the students put in the last 10 days? How were we supposed to continue to operate with so many team members down? That morning, as we waded through the haze of uncertainty, this psalm, Psalm 46, came to our team. And it was in the downpour of whys and what ifs and what do we do nows that the very first verse of this psalm put a roof over our heads. God is a refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. We were reminded that God was with us in the uncertainty, the anxiety, and the fear. That just as the chapel that we sat in was a refuge from the heat of day, God's presence was a refuge from the chaos of our circumstance. And it comforted us greatly, but also gave us the courage to walk forward into the unknown. The command of God to his people throughout the ages has been this: fear not, for the Lord God is with you. And this psalm comes to us in the same spirit to strengthen us in time of need. This psalm is a psalm for times of crisis. Now, the actual historical crisis that is connected to this psalm is unknown. Its message is very broad. The scope of what is involved is huge. It addresses nature, nations, and kingdoms. Really, it's got pretty much everything in existence in its scope. But what we do know is that here we have a psalm that was written not just for a specific people at a specific time period regarding a specific event. What we have here is a psalm that is written for the ages. A psalm whose application was, yes, for the sons of Korah and the congregation that they served, but also for every generation of the people of God after them. So before we go into it, I'd like to ask you to consider this question this morning. What is the crisis that is in your life right now? Is there something that is giving you anxiety this morning? Is it a change in your stage of life? High school to college, college to work? Is it something that you're working toward or looking for, a new career, a new job? Is it a change in your family? Is it your health? Is it the health of a loved one? Is it the relational health of your own family, your marriage, your friendships? Let us approach this psalm with the same frame of mind that the psalmist had when they wrote it. Stanza one, God is with us as a shelter. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, We will not fear though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, those waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. Now, when we enter into this and read that the earth gives way, that the mountains be moved, we may instinctively read it as metaphorical. And that's fair. The earth and the mountains are meant here to describe the turmoil and chaos of life. And I believe that the psalmist's intention includes that interpretation. But I also believe that he meant it literally, as in the earth has literally given way. And the mountains are literally thrown into the sea. Mountains represent basic constants in life. Everything on the mountain or around the mountain can move and change. That is okay, but the mountain is supposed to stay there. It's not supposed to move. Yet here, the psalmist paints a dreadful picture of exactly that happening. Imagine it. The earth has given way. The mountains have been picked up and tossed into the heart of the sea, almost as if they were light. The mountains are trembling. The mountains are afraid and quaking as the seawaters roar and foam and rise to consume them. And the chaos of the sea is winning. This is the setting that the psalmist has chosen to speak those first two verses into. God is a refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. That even in the presence of an unraveling creation, such as natural disasters, famine, or plague, God's command to us is, fear not. When I was in Japan, I got to know a missionary who was the pastor of a small church in Kobe. I asked him how God had revealed to him that Japan was the mission field that he was meant to go to. And he explained to me that he received a vision when he was a young man that was renewed later on in life of a massive earthquake that resulted in the destruction of Tokyo. A massive earthquake under Tokyo that resulted in the destruction of the city. And when he said this, I was immediately curious. So I went to Google and I typed in three words, Tokyo earthquake prediction. And the very first result that I got was this. It was a link to a study published a couple of years ago, which reported that there is a 70% chance that a magnitude 7 class earthquake will occur directly under central Tokyo within the next 30 years. The study also predicted that there will be 6,600 untreatable deaths as a result of it. When I discovered this, I was immediately quiet, and my anxiety took over. The next 30 years, wait, but technically that means that the next week counts as the next 30 years, right? And my first reaction was, I have to get out of here. But as I reflected more on it, I realized that here is a missionary who, despite knowing that there is a high probability that the earth will literally give way and the mountains will literally tremble, as we see in these three verses, has not chosen to run, but actually has a resolve to stay. He is not afraid. Even in the presence of an unraveling creation, God's command finds obedience in him. Fear not. But how? How can we not be afraid? Who can summon such strength of heart? Well, it is because, as the very first verse says, his presence is our strength. The very presentness of God is our strength. And when we feel as though our world has changed for the worse, when what we thought would never happen happens, or when we stare into the face of a circumstance that gives us deep anxiety, he is very present. And it's actually his presence that makes us courageous. Stanza 2, God is with us as a provider. This next stanza goes as follows. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Now here there's a description of God as a mighty river that branches out into 1,000 streams which flow into every corner of the city of God. People drink from it, children play in it. With its flow comes life, refreshing nourishment, washing and cleansing of his people. The sound of it as it flows throughout the city is heard everywhere. It is very present and ever available with all that the people of God need. This city is not just a city that belongs to God, it is also his very home. It is the holy habitation of the Most High. It is the dwelling place of God himself. So here, God is not simply present, he is its very essence. You see, the phrase God is in the midst of her does not just mean that God is present. It's much richer than that. It is to say that God is the inward part of the city. Another translation is that God is the seat of life itself. Imagine that. God is seated, enthroned in his city, and around him flows this mighty river of life. God is ever present with us as a provider, and it is in his shelter and providence that we stand steadfast. God within us makes us to be unmovable, sustained and strengthened through the dark night of the soul until morning dawns. It is his presence that, as Joe described 2 weeks ago, keeps us in the face of all danger. As in verse 6, it says, the nations rage, the kingdoms totter, he utters his voice, the earth melts before him in worship. And it is at this moment, as the psalmist is reflecting on the wonder and power and glory and nearness of God, that he breaks out into worship in the refrain that we see twice in this psalm. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. And the phrase Lord of hosts is actually a very powerful phrase. The word Lord, in all caps, is God's covenant name, specifically given to God's people in Exodus as the name that his people use to call on him. And hosts refers to God as the commander over all the angel armies of heaven. So the Lord of hosts calls to memory the rich history of God's love and his devoted faithfulness to his people in all the power that is at his disposal. It's a heavy, heavy hitter of a statement. And not only are those two references to God rich with meaning, but there is another one that perhaps the psalmist was not even aware of as he was writing, inspired by the Spirit of God within him. The phrase is with us is a translation of the Hebrew word imanu, which is a verb that means to be with. And we'll come back to that later. Some of you may know where that's going. But first, stanza 3. God is with us as a warrior. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. And here in the third stanza, the psalmist invites us to consider the works of that covenant God. Desolations usually refers to God's work of judgment in the earth, to right what is wrong and to bring evil to justice. He judges inequity, but also he, as it says in verse 9, makes war cease as far as the ends of the earth. And now what is his method for putting an end to wars? He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He throws the chariots in a pile and he sets it ablaze. A bow is useless when it is broken in two, because the very way that a bow works is that you have to apply tension to it, you have to pull it back. And as the wood bends, it creates tension that fires the arrow forward. If it's broken in two, it's basically useful only to control puppets. You know, you've got 2 sticks and a string. And a spear is like, and it says in the passage that the spear, on the other hand, is broken in two. Oh, it's shattered, I'm sorry. The spear is shattered, on the other hand. It's not broken in two, where one end can be used as a short stabbing stick and the other as a club. It is shattered into 1,000 pieces that fall to the ground, useless. And God's role as a divine warrior is to bring justice and peace. And if God is with us as our divine warrior, and his work is to rend, to utter disintegration, the weapons of the world, then what does he ask of us? Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. One pastor pointed out the presence of the stark contrast between what God is doing and what the rest of the things in this psalm are doing. While the earth is shaking, the mountains are trembling, the sea is roaring, the nations are raging, the kingdoms are tottering, God is still. In his presence, there is a stillness, a peace, that is extraordinarily different from anything in this world. One of the four, yes, four church members of a rural church in Japan retells the story of how he came to accept Christ. He said that there was a time in his life when he was experiencing great family turmoil, and as a way of seeking peace, he started to take walks around the neighborhood. And one day he stumbled upon the church, and he describes this. There was a quietness that I found in the preaching, the singing of songs, that was unlike anything else I had felt. Isn't that striking? Now, here is a man, and not a young man, who has lived his whole life in a country that is primarily known for its quietness. And yet here, in the presence of God, no bonsai, no Zen garden, no meditation can even compare to what he's feeling. It can't match the peace that he feels. Oh, that God is a refuge and strength, is a deep comfort, a healing salve for the wounds of our anxieties, our sorrows, our crises. To be still is to lean back against God, to feel the strength of his presence against your trembling back, to breathe and know that he is God. To know him as a refuge and strength, a very present help in times of trouble. To know him as a river of life, whose streams flow into every part of your troubled heart to calm, soothe, heal, and resurrect. Now you may say to me this morning, this is all well and good. God is a fortress indeed. You say he is with us as a shelter, as a provider, as a warrior. But how do I know for certain that these promises are for me? The author seems very confident, but on what basis am I to say that I am numbered among those within the fortress rather than those without? Ephesians 2 says, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God." And the answer is that yes, at some point, we were all numbered among those outside the fortress because of our sin. By ourselves, we have no power to enter into the city of the Holy One whom we have offended. We do not deserve the shelter, the providence, nor the deliverance of God. Rather, we deserve his justice and desolation. But the gospel is that Jesus has borne that desolation on our behalf. And the receipt of the blessings of God with us, which we do not deserve, comes simply by faith in him, in Jesus Christ. See, we talked about this one Hebrew word earlier, Emmanu, and how it means to be with us. I'd like to share one other word with you this morning, and that is the word El. And El is one of the words used for God, the names of God that his people have used to call on him throughout the ages. El Shaddai, the God of strength. El Olam, the God everlasting. El Roi, the God who sees, have had this shape. And the very first chapter of the New Testament, Matthew 1, says this of Jesus Christ. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Jesus Christ is Emmanuel, the God who is with us, or to say it another way, the with us God. By Christ is the Lord of hosts, the God of Jacob, with us. By Christ are the promises of this psalm ours. Beloved brothers and sisters, do you know what is the pearl of greatest price bought for you by our elder brother, Jesus? I think of Jesus who, during his time here on earth, sang these psalms in the congregation. I think it's safe to assume that he knew this one well. I imagine as he is singing it, and as he is being moved by the love that he and his Father have for us, weak and weary sinners, he thinks to himself, I am going to the cross to buy this for them. I am going to the cross to buy their reconciliation, their citizenship in the city of God. I am going to purchase their peace so that when they encounter anything, the knowledge that I am Emmanuel will enable them to be still. Dear church, weak and weary sinner, whose hope is in Christ, how is Emmanuel, God with us, strengthening you to be still this morning? Would that we be a people who, when we face crises, honor the purchase of Jesus and cry out in his name, Lord of hosts, you are with us. By Christ, you are our Lord of hosts, and you are with us. I will be still and know that you are God. And as we're still, we may slowly discover that we don't really need God to make the mountain stop trembling. We don't really need God to give us what we think we need. Why? Because it's not in what he does for us that our souls can find rest. Rather, it is simply his presence that grants our souls the rest that they truly need. So let's pray. Oh, gracious God, we come to you with our anxieties. We come to you with our griefs. We come to you with our sorrows, our regrets, our pain, our exhaustion, our fear. We confess that our hearts really are restless until they find their rest in you. God, grant that we may know you in such a way that whatever the storm, whatever the quaking of the earth, whatever the trial may be upon us, we can be still and find refuge in your Son, who is to us Emmanuel. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I invite you guys right now to just take some time in quiet meditation.